Mr. Scott, reel 3. You mornings were drills and afternoons, as you say, firing on the ranges. PT, how often did you get PT?
Nearly about every 2 days we used to get that. That was another thing that kept on top of your fitness. I'll say that. I was fit as a lot, and all the lads were.
What form did that take? What kind of exercise were you doing?
Running or in the gym, vaulting the box and things like that. In fact, one of the PT instructors, he said to me, he said, "You fancy going in for an instructor's job?" And he said, "I'll make inquiries." Anyway, they wanted all the infantry men they could, you know. So that was out like, you know, there goes a cushion on my night, you know.
Cross country runs, was that involved in it?
You used to go involved, it was mainly on the roads, not much, because it was all ranges around about, you see, so there wasn't, well, what we did was mainly on road work, but we did a lot of gym work and we were really fit as well, no doubt about that. And I found that those PT instructors were really good guys, you know, they took it to your limit, they knew you had enough type of thing, you know, when they saw you collapsing the floor, they say, right, go. Go and have 5 minutes, type of thing. We're good. Yeah. It was a good, there was a discipline there in the training they used to give you. There was no, there was a certain PDI, a corporal. There might be a private who was there, go up the ranks and the PDIs. But they could do it. You couldn't tell them, say, look at them, they've got us doing it. They can't do it themselves. I could there. 10 times better than what you ever could, you know. They were really fit, but they're really good instructors. I found the big guys down there.
You've been given the rifle, so you'd have weapon drills, rifle drills.
That was our first. I'm going to put getting a tool on top of your rifle. I'll drop it on the butt. Yeah, because I mean, as you know, the infantry hit the trail.
You didn't slope arms. You went to the trail.
Of course, getting used to that, as you're marching naturally, you're at the trail, and the spout used to get the spout too, if you get what I mean, walk until eventually you got to know the swing of it, and you kept your arm.
You get the balance.
You got the balance, and you dent, your right arm, you dent, you had to stay straight, because if you had that start to swing, well, then you were in trouble, because you hit the block in front of you, so it was tough going that,
And it must have got heavy on one arm. Were you allowed to change your arms?
Yeah, you used to change. Up, 1, 2, 3, over, 1, 2, 3, down. Which was a good thing, like, when you couldn't carry it all that at the time. There was occasions when we had to, later on, they'd come to that.
But you had this weapon drill there. As you said, your rifle had to be kept clean. How did you clean your rifle?
With the old pull-through, the Warren, 2x2, I think it was. It used to be white with a little red line on it, and you used to have the old thumb inspection, the thumb down the end. You used to check, get one of your mates, can you see anything down there, you know? And I defied him when he said that the one at the time I had pulled him out and taken weapon, you know, because he said, well, it was quite just someone will really see it, and you said, well, I couldn't see that, you know. But that's one thing, you kept on top of your weapons, you kept them clean.
And you had an oil bottle, did you? And the outer part, metal part of the rifle and the butt itself?
The butt used to, I don't know what's on the other, but I used to put a bit of soap and water. Just, you know, to keep it in the colour. Mainly, what we were wishing down there, really old. I was knocking about a bit, like, you know, still in good working condition, but. Scratch marks in the woods and things like that, you know. But the way, safety wise, I don't know if anybody, while we were there, got shot or lacking on or whatever, because that did take place. Some silly devils, you know, being clever, you know. And I did hear, I don't know if you like it, but one lad did surely got out and shot his toe off, you know. It was thrown out, I don't know, but I did that on a lot of occasions. Maybe just 6 months at Colchester before they got all right. It was a bad way of doing it.
Had you been issued with a bayonet?
Yeah.
And you would have obviously have bayonet drill.
Yeah, a little bit. We didn't have a great deal of that because the little bayonet pig stickers. What about the big long ones? You know, the old fashioned ones. In fact, that was when I first found out that at one stage in the 1418 war, that there were some of them that were stopped using them. They were serrated edges. And they stopped them using them. Yeah. One of the lectures we went to, and about, you know, being a trainer. Yeah. It was 6 weeks of letting you know what you're going to possibly come across. And it was good. It was good training, definitely.
And to turn you into soldiers, in effect.
Yeah, it was really good.
At the end of the afternoon, and your day had finished, did you have a tea meal, high tea? At the end of the afternoon, you've gone through your afternoon of training.
Yes, that was anything except, you know, line up again in the mess room. Because I think the reason why this was good, make you march in that, because you would never, if you went to the stragglers, you'd be there all day. So there are a lot of time, so you march there, you went along the road, you got your meal back out again, so that there was no stragglers coming and things like that. The only people who were like, maybe allowed to go in later was them that was on there, well, maybe doing janitors or something like that, going later on. Yeah.
What might you get for tea?
I can't remember if I know. I really didn't have it. Just something back.
But you'd have this tea meal.
But I can tell you now, it was always the bacon. I think that was stable, that. I mean, it still filled you. It still filled you up. It's a bit of fat and a bit of lean type of thing, you know.
Was time your own after the end of the working day?
Yes.
What things would you be doing in the evening?
After that, I think it was 2 weeks before we were allowed to go to camp, 2 or 3 weeks, a good spell. So that gave us plenty of time to get our uniform sort of up to scratch, or hopefully up to scratch, to get up past the guard room, or the guard commander, to inspect you before you went out. But then if you didn't want to go out, you used to sit there and talk, or, you know, maybe bullying your book a little bit, or looking after things.
Yeah, I was going to say that you must have spent quite a major part of the evening cleaning equipment. And
that's what we used to do. But unless you were somebody who was at you all the time and got on top of it, then you go out and you always made sure that your kit was come first.
Boots, we've talked about the kind of boots you got. How did you get those up to standard? Because they mustn't have been up to standard when you got them.
They're like spit and polish. Yeah. Polish on, yeah. Because I used to hear about spit and polish on your boots. And I think, I don't believe that, but it was true. Yeah, the old circle.
And spitting.
Spitting the polish, that, yeah. But, like I said earlier, it wasn't as bad as what we're going to come to.
No, well, we're sticking with this, yes. We're sticking with this first 6 weeks, really.
So we did. I would say that they broke us in there as a raw recruit to become half a soldier.
Did you have a naffy on the camp?
Yeah, there was a naffy.
And you could go there?
Could go there.
I didn't ask you how much your pay was, of course, as a soldier at that time.
Wasn't a lot.
Did you allocate money home or did you?
Yeah, we used to send mother some money. Stopped out, yeah.
And did you have to buy the additional items like cleaning materials? Was that out of your own pay?
You used to buy the polish that you got to work for that, didn't you? One of the most polish issued. Because it was always the cherry blossom you used to go for. That was it. Yeah, cherry blossom bone polish. Yeah.
And the blanco for the equipment.
No,
yeah.
That was issued
to you.
Yeah.
And what colour blanco did you use on your equipment?
It was like a khaki. Mm. Yeah. And we also used to get the button stick. We cleaned the brass buttons and that was issued with that, you know. Basics,
To keep your brasses.
Brasses clean.
So there was a lot of cleaning to do.
Oh yeah, there was. You had your two brushes on the back of your with took your cross straps for your pouches on the front, they were to be clean. Your main one, your two at the side of the thing there.
The two brass same.
The brass went through. Then they'd only brass only packs. There was something else. We didn't have a lot of the brass buttons, but the old brown ones, you know, at the time. Yeah. But the cap badge.
Was that a general service cab badge?
Yeah, because you didn't know which regiment you were going into. It was just a base. It was like the bugle, and that was it. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, there were some of the ones a part of my draft going down there, or some of us, some didn't even get a badge, you know, they just had their own belly, the green belly, and that was it. Because yeah. I think at that time we were down there, the needle on the infantry when they seemed to be all sorts up there where they needed them, you know, because we had that many stations abroad.
Can we talk a few minutes about the sergeants and corporals who were instructing you? Yeah. Do you recall the names of the ones that you were involved with?
Not once, mate, so who I found out later on, you know, it always been dead a lot of years now. But I knew I'd seen you before, and I couldn't picture it where. And then all of a sudden, I was in one of the shops in Thornby Town Centre, and I looked at him at the same time he looked at me, and I said, "Oh yes, I remember you." He said, "Ah, I thought you would," and he went down the shop. Yeah.
But were they?
But the sergeants, the sergeant, I can't remember the names, but they were all, I would say, reasonable. You know, they were pretty strict
on that. They were pretty fair with you, were they? There was no bullies amongst them.
I never found that all the time I was in the army, any bully whatsoever. Well, from the NCOs, put it that way. Yeah.
Were they themselves National Service, or were they regular soldiers?
They were all regulars. That one I mentioned, Smales, he was a regular. And the sergeant. Well, it's something I can't remember much about. And then RSM there. You know, I can't remember. You know, but RSM for the regiment, but not an RSM there as such.
What rank did Smales have?
He was a full corporal.
And one or two of them, were they getting on in years, these people?
Yeah, well, I would say, then I was 21, and he'd be maybe about 28, 79 years older. Yeah. But the other ones were well in the 30s.
So some of them must have been Second World War.
Possibly,
But they did treat you fairly.
I mean, there might have been swears to other people, but to me, that I thought we got such fair. I've heard any of the lads really saying, "I wish I was out this lot," you know, and all like that. Yeah, very good for them type of thing.
Did you have much contact with officers?
No.
Very little, except for the inspection situation.
Inspection, that was
all. So you don't recall the names of any of the officers?
There was only one, I don't know his name. He was only one who used to, he would speak to, you know, "Good morning, soldier," so, you know, "Good morning, soldier," something like that, which he appreciated, you know, but somebody just, every like, middle of the day, walked straight past after some whatever he had, but that was it. Yeah.
You said after some 2 or 3 weeks, providing you were smartened up, you could go out. And I think you did, we'd mention earlier that you had to go past the guard room, where you were inspected, in effect.
There was a big tall mirror, and you used to look at that, and you'd think to yourself, "Right, I'm going in." And a full call of a guard sergeant, a guard commander, he'd say, "Right, soldier, you think you're smart?" I said, yes, sir, you know. "Well, you're not. Go back and get your cap badge cleaned." And I never looked, you know, and he'd go back. I think, "Well, I can't see nothing wrong with this." You'd have another one, you go back. I've gone back three or four times before I got out. Yeah, many a time. Yeah, but it was discipline. Yeah, I mean, it might have been true. It was a load of rubbish, and let me go out. Yeah, so he appreciated it. Yeah.
And when you went out, where did you go to?
Oh, I must have gone down in Gordon. If I remember right, it was the only place where you could go and have a bit of a meal was an old, like a shack. Yeah, there was no dance hall. If you wanted to go anywhere, you got the the tailor shop. Yeah, that was the nearest place. Yeah. And down there at the time, at which there was the Army Railway depot down there, and I remember there was coming back some more, I said, oh, that's that bloody train going fast. They were a ferry boat that was talking up, yeah, getting ready to go down the other shop, yeah. Couldn't find a way from boarding that, the old locals, you know, Army locals, yeah. But that was the only place I could think of.
Were there many civilians that you came into contact with?
No, not there. There might have been, I think it was all Army people that was employed there, you know.
No drinking place for you? If you did drink then, of course.
Well, I didn't actually. I didn't start to drink till I went to Berlin. Anyway, that was the only place I think it was like a big hut. It wasn't, you could go in and have a bit of a meal, but it wasn't much. Really, I suppose, you were there for training type of thing, and that was it there.
So your training would go through, presumably through the working days of the week. And Saturday mornings, did you train?
Sometimes you used to do the range on the weekend because it would be occupied by other people, so it would depend. You could never say, oh, I'm off the full weekend because you might be on the range. Yeah. We did quite a lot of range down there, which is a good thing. Yeah, down there.
But did you have any free time over the weekend as a rule?
Normally on a Sunday. Maybe Sunday morning, but I used to get my kickboard, you know, get feasible, and then maybe read the paper, and then try and get yourself ready for going out on the Sunday night. Basically, the lads I used to go with used to go for a walk. There was nothing there we could say, oh, I've got the dance hall, I'll do it that.
Did you have a church parade?
I can't remember, we might have had, but I just can't remember, to be quite honest, I can't ever remember going to a church down there. Yeah. On the other hand, I suppose there would be one, if you asked to attend, they would let you attend. But I can't remember such going on a church, but there. Yeah.
You may have gone just to church if you'd wanted to go, rather than have a parade to go.
Yeah. I can't ever remember there specifically going on a church parade. Yeah.
So the 6 weeks was pretty hectic, I think you said. You know,
the 6 weeks was pure training, and it was, in my opinion, still in good stead. Anyway.
Did you finish with passing out parade?
Yes, the passing out parade. Yes, smartest recruit type of thing. You know, that was the day that. You all used to think, oh, I'm a soldier now, type of thing, you know, it would be great, yeah. Your father and mother could have got an invite, but it was too far from the travel, you know, from me and what I didn't have many attended. Only them that lived, maybe they happened to live locally could attend it, but I can't remember seeing one anyway. Yeah.
And the band played, was there a band out for you?
No, I don't think there was a band there.
And presumably some officer commanding the.
I think it was a colonel, RC of the infantry train or something like that. He came and took a bit of a. It wasn't a flashy one, you know.
Took the salute,
That was it. Mm. All them done with.
At what point did you know that you were being placed in the Durham Light Infantry?
2 days, I think it was, or 3 days, when I was 6 weeks supposed to be up. Of course, we're all saying, hey, we don't know where we're going, you know, that's an issue there. And the rumour went around, there weren't a lot of infantrymen, that was the rumour going around. So I think Paul Morris decided to the fact we're going at light infantry, we didn't know which regiment. And all of a sudden, in the outside the garden was a flame, you know, with a notice board, and it had on posters, so-and-so, DLI, so-and-so, King's Own, or Summers. Because all the light brigades were on the go then, and they were all over the place. And I thought, oh, dear lad, I think, oh, that's not far. I mean, you knew I was not far away from home, type of thing. That would do me. And then you start asking, where are the stations at? Oh, they're in Berlin. Oh. Then, of course, you got, I think everybody got 7 days leave. Probably back to Brandsmith.
So your 7 days was embarkation leave, was it?
No, to go to Berlin. Mm-hmm. The 7 days, then we're going back to Brandsmith.
So you went back home for your 7 days. This would be what you I think you said you went in July.
June the 21st, yeah. I think, 51. So it'd be August, something like that, when I went back home.
And you went home with your uniform for the first time.
When I brought up the street, there's two young kids. I always remember. Saying, where have you been, soldier? You know, they didn't pick you. Yeah, where have you been? Yeah. The only kids, you know, running around. It's nice to think back. No, you know, it makes you think, yeah. Had the kit bag and all. And the helmet stuck on the top, you know, fast on the top. When I went in, mother said, oh, where are you going? So it's not the helmet, you see. Yeah. She said, she said, because Cree wasn't on the go at the time. You know what I was saying? You don't go to Cree? I said, no. I out of all instance, no. I don't know where I'm going, you know. I know we're going to Berlin, but I wasn't going to make any worse. I said, I don't know yet, like, you know. And that put a mind of us for a little while, anyway.
And after 7 days, you went to Brandsmith.
Yeah.
Do you recall how they received you when you went in that first day?
Base soldier, you know. We'll wait there, because they all told me to put this at most the same time, that they were all coming in, and they were coming in from all over the place. And the next thing I knew was there was about eight or nine of us came together, and we took along to, we could call it, maybe it was a holding room or something. We were all interviewed, then you were trained by the Phillies forms in, and then we were all put to different billets there, because they were only wooden huts, some of them.
This was the big camp at Brandsmith.
Yeah.
And which unit did you finish with? Which section or platoon or whatever?
I finished up in A Company, number 2 platoon, and the number 3 section, and then the platoon.
And that was it. It was a big camp, as you say, wooden huts. Can you describe it again, the accommodation that you were in?
Well, a little bit better than Bourne, put it that way. If I remember right, the huts weren't a full hut, they were sort of so many layers of bricks, and then the woodwork on the bricks, which gave it a bit more warmth than that, I would think. But we weren't there all that long, if I remember rightly.
And the same procedure of keeping the huts clean and
exactly the same.
Meals.
The old dolly and what have you, In fact, I would say a little bit more stricter, because we're actually in the army, put it that way, and you were in.
You'd have the DLI badge up, right?
The badge and everything, You had the flashes up and everything on the uniform,
Did they give you lectures on the history of the regiment to build up your, you know, your...
Oh, yes, the 68th of foot. I've got quite a few books in there. I'm not sure something. I'm supposed to be with you, I don't mind saying it. And
they put this pride into you through.
Oh, the office, yes. Was it John Moore? He was all the provincial.
Sir John Moore. Go on. I'm so sorry.
I was quite pleased to get there.
What were you doing there for the time that you were there?
Just getting prepared, really getting all the kit and equipment ready, you know, before we went over to Berlin. We did the usual drills and what have you. But basically, any spare time was really getting prepared. We did the gym business, you know, the PTIs, everything there. But you weren't allowed to slouch anything, there was always something on the go. And the transport section, they'd be getting the lorries ready and what have you. And, the water sections, whatever, all getting ready, going.
And this was, in effect, an extension of the basic training.
I
didn't mention to you, I should have done, the fact you did say that you'd had fired the Bren gun once on basic training.
Yeah.
And obviously, presumably, learned its parts and so forth. Yeah. So you were, had that knowledge that with the Bren. Yeah. Were there any other weapons that you'd been introduced to?
There was only 303, the Bren. I don't think we've got the string which I went to Mary. Can't remember using it on the range. Some may have, but we didn't.
Had you had any experience with mortars, 2-inch mortars or 3-inch mortars?
I had a bit of training with that as well, a 2-inch mortar, yeah. Because we had one, and I had a 2-inch mortar map of me in the section. But the Bren gun, just quickly, I think it was one of the best guns ever made.
You like that weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, were you forming as a draft reinforcement to the battalion? Was the battalion already in Berlin?
Already in Berlin, yes.
And you were going out there as a draft?
Yeah. That's why we're mixed. And that's how I found out that... So a lot of the lads were from Cornwall to make the battalion up the strength, you know.
Oh, they brought down lads from as far afield as that, yeah.
And we went there all that long. We didn't do a great deal, just for us getting ready to do stuff. And then it was there. We went from Southampton.
Do you recall what date you moved to Berlin?
August. I think it was.
How many of you were in the draft? Who was taking you out? Who was commanding the draft?
It was a full lieutenant or a second lieutenant. Can't think of his name now. He was in charge of us all the way through. And then we had the problem.
You went by train to
train.
Southampton, did you say?
Yes. Went to Southampton.
You went to Southampton.
And
yeah.
Then the boat from Southampton to Oka Holland. And then the train from Oka Holland to Berlin.
How did you feel about going abroad?
Well, I thought we did. Yeah. I thought myself, I thought it was daft if I don't go run up to doing all that training or whatever. And then we found out, I don't know if I'm going too far forward, but the train journey from going to Berlin, I'm going to go through the Russian sector and that. Well, you couldn't believe it, I know what I am, because the Russians, I mean, we go through the black part. And I thought, well, this is crazy, this. Yeah, just to keep the Cold War. So nothing was upset, didn't upset them. Yeah.
So you were on this train and going across Europe, and you came to the Russian sector, and we
were told to conceal our arms in the trains. Yeah. So they, I mean, we won the war type of thing with them. We were not to do that. We couldn't believe it. Yeah. Some of that was a bit of nice, and this is not this, you know. Yeah. Well, that's what we had to do. Yeah.
And were you locked in the train, so you couldn't get out?
Yeah. It was funny that. You couldn't believe it, you know, but that was the Cold War. Yeah. I mean, when you think, you know, what's taken place in the years gone by and whatever, yeah. And if we used to think, well, we've won the war, yeah. Who was it? Who won it? And then once we got through their sector, then they went back to normal. Yeah. Same going out. Yeah.